Got one announcement. February the 14th, we are doing a marriage banquet, not quite a Valentine's banquet. It is a marriage retreat type of a setting. It will be on Valentine's Day. Dr. Tony Wolf and his wife Vanessa will come. They're our guest speakers for the evening. Be a meal involved, dessert. Really fun time. I'd encourage you now to go sign up. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer or in the Welcome Center. The cost per couple will be $25. That includes the meal. My neighbor next door, the rodeo coach for South Plains College, is cooking our brisket. And goodness gracious, can that man cook. So you want to be a part of that. So go sign up out there. Nancy probably will be out there to answer any questions that you have. I know the fun part about it is you're not going to be put on the spot to do anything. We're not doing newlywed game, none of that kind of stuff. But I have been told that me and Nancy will be part of a panel discussion and that you'll get to ask questions. So I may need to see your questions before you ask them, okay? So we'll kind of screen some of those before you get there. So I'd encourage you to do that. Brother Dr. Tony Wolf and his wife, they're out of our state convention office. He's the director of church relations and pastor relations, a really good friend. And so I know you'll have a good time with that. We're continuing our study through the book of Proverbs. This morning we're going to be talking about watching our words. Taming the tongue, there's a good one for that. What seems to be like an eternity ago, Nancy and I had the privilege of being able to serve on the executive staff for what used to be called Super Summer. This particular year, I was the team leader coordinator. We were at Baylor University during their summer session. We were expecting about 2,500 students to show up. My responsibility was to work with one of the junior high schools, about 300 junior high school students. And my job was to work with the college students that were going to be doing the small groups for that session that week. So we got there on Friday. We spent Friday night, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, getting to know our team before the students showed up on Monday morning. One of the things that we needed to do was to create a sense of excitement as the students showed up on campus. Well, one of the things that one of the college students, leave it up to the college kids, one of the college students says, well, hey, look, we got a bunch of water balloons, and we have a 3-man water balloon launcher. Let's see how much fun we can have. And so we're on the back side of Baylor Hall, launching these water balloons over the building into the parking lot with all these churches showing up on campus. Have you ever heard the phrase, it's all fun and games until somebody gets an eye put out? We didn't put out anybody's eye. But there were a lot of teachers on campus that were still having summer sessions that didn't think it was too funny. Some of the pastors, I was a youth minister then, some of the pastors showing up, they didn't think it was too funny when they got hit with water balloons. So, it didn't go over too well. And the reason I tell you that story is sometimes our words are like that. Our words are pretty fun until we hurt somebody with them. And we're really good at that sometimes, aren't we? Hurting people with the words that we say. Our water balloons weren't very big. And if you think about it, neither is our tongue. But it sure does a lot of damage sometimes. And so that's kind of what we're going to be thinking about today. How do we tame our tongue? So let's pray. God, I pray in the next few minutes that you'll just speak to our hearts. Lord, I'm grateful for the opportunities that I've had this week. And I visited with several folks where we've had opportunity to really go all out with our words on somebody else. But we choose not to. And I thank you for that restraint. I pray today that as we listen to what your word says about our words, that, Lord, I know that it's going to be a tough subject, a touchy subject, but, Lord, it's one that I desperately need to hear today. And so I thank you for that. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, our words have the power like those water balloons. We can launch blessing, good, kind things into people's lives with the words that we say, and we can also launch a bunch of destruction and hurt into the words and lives that people say. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms chapter 34. I have the passage on the screen. If you want to look there, I left my glasses in my office. I was going to try to read it from the New American Standard, but I don't. So we'll read it from the Christian Standard Version. It says, "Come, children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Remember, we spent all last Sunday talking about that, the fear of the Lord. He said, "I'll teach you the fear of the Lord." And then he asked a question. Who is someone who desires life, a loving, a long life to enjoy what is good? And look at the answer. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. Turn away from evil and do what is good. Seek peace and pursue that. That comes from Psalms. When you get over in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs has a lot of things to say about our tongue. It refers to our tongue. It'll talk about our mouth. It'll talk about our lips. When I got the concordance out, I counted up over 150 some odd times that in 31 chapters, Solomon or the other writers used the word tongue or mouth or lips. This is our main passage of Scripture that we're going to look at today, Proverbs 18:21. Look at what it says. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." That's good fruit or bad fruit. But we're going to eat the fruit that comes from the words that we say. He says our words, again, will launch life or they'll launch death. Everything that we said this week to folks, think about it. Go back and rehearse some of the words that you've spoken this week. Our words either spoke life, they were beneficial, they were encouraging to someone, or they were hurtful. They were biting. They were discouraging. If you check out all of the H words used to describe what our words do, our words help, heal, they hinder, they hurt, they harm, they humiliate, they humble people. We're going to do an exercise this morning. So I need all of you to stick out your tongue. Go ahead and put that next piece. See, there you go. Kind of what we look like. Y'all not sticking out your tongue. There you go. Thank you, Kermit. Thank you, Dean. Some of y'all listen. You can put them back in there because you look funny. But if you look at it, if you can see it, I had to really rear back and get mine out where I could see it. It's a small little thing. But that little tongue is probably, I think, the most powerful source, powerful tool that we have on our body. I would rather be punched in the face sometimes rather than hear the words that some people say to me. You know why? Bruises a heel. You ever heard the little phrase? Hang on. Yeah, go ahead and put it up there. Death and life are in the power. Look how I changed the words of my tongue. And I will eat its fruit. Say that with me. Death and life are in the power of my tongue. And I will eat its fruit. Church, here's a decision that I think that all of us have to make after we hear a sermon like this. Are we going to launch words of life and peace into people's lives? Or are we going to launch words of death and destruction? And so the first point of the message is basically this. Our words are powerful. The Christian Standard Version has the power of the tongue. It's the first part of the phrase, and the NIV also says the same thing. The tongue has the power of life and death. The Hebrew word for power literally means strength. There's strength. There's power in what we say. If you remember during World War II, there was a phrase that went around that said something like this. Go ahead and put the first picture up. And it basically says, loose lips sinks ships. There were a lot of spies. We didn't know who was on our side, who wasn't on our side. And so when we were in port, folks were really encouraged not to talk a lot about strategy, about the ships, about what's going on. Because you didn't know if you were talking to somebody that was on your side or not on your side. In 2020, the phrase would be this, loose tweets sinks fleets. And it's quicker, isn't it? Back in World War II, you had to get it out that way. Man, today all we got to do is hear something and we post it and it's millions of people in a period of an amount of seconds. And you can't take them back. I hate Facebook for the simple purpose is there was a time and period in my extended family's life, and I still got some Simons that still do it, that air all their stuff on Facebook. Church, after today, I might say something to you if I see your Facebook post and you're airing out your garbage on Facebook. Because we ought not be that way. That's not the place, time for it. But the problem is, and I'm chasing a rabbit, the problem is we don't know how to do conversations anymore. So I can say it with my thumbs, but you say it for everybody, it's not the right stage for it. We need to learn how to go to Michelle and say, Michelle, hey, you said something the other day, and I don't know if you meant it or not. And most of the times what I found out is I just took it the wrong way. And so the conversation, guess what I've done? I've stopped it right there before everybody else gets in on it. But we'll sink fleets, we'll sink congregations, we'll destroy families by the stuff that we put on Facebook. So our words are powerful. Why are they so powerful? There's several reasons. Number one is we just talk too much. Researchers say this, that women talk almost three times as much as men. Hang on. An average woman notches up to 20,000 words in a day, which is about 13,000 more than the average man. I was thinking to myself, I know some ladies that get that done before breakfast. But unfortunately for us guys, it's because what research says is they use more words is because they're a little smarter than we are. Their vocabulary is a little bit bigger than what ours is. Here's my point. And I think I have it up there. If we're talking that much, we're bound to say something that's going to be hurtful and or destructive to somebody if we're using that many words. Because I'm just telling you, Brian Simon's terrible at editing himself when he starts talking. We need to learn to edit ourselves. So we talk too much. Second thing we do is our words go deep. Look at what Proverbs 12:18 says. There is one who speaks rashly like a piercing sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Man, we can slice somebody to pieces with the words that we say. We do it pretty quick. But you know what? I've also been encouraged by words that people say. Look at what Proverbs 12:25 says. Anxiety in a person's heart weighs it down. But a good word cheers it up. Man, I like to hear a good word every now and then, don't you? A good word. And so I hope you have somebody in your life that speaks those kind of words to you. I can't tell you how many times that a good word, the right word, has come at the right time, exactly when I've needed to hear it. That's a God thing. And I'm grateful for folks that are sensitive to that. Look at the third thing. Words spread fast. Proverbs 16 says, a worthless person digs up evil. I didn't say that. Solomon said, you're worthless if you go around. Do we not have anything better to do than going around trying to dig up dirt, dig up stuff? A worthless person digs up evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. How many of you have been on the receiving end of words like that before? Burn. I wish that the words I say sometimes would just evaporate. But they don't. There's a ripple effect. And they just go on and go on and go on. One writer said this, words have tremendous power for good and evil. They take on a life of their own. Watch this. And they hang out there forever. Our words are powerful. Say this with me again. Look at the next phrase. Say it with me. Death and life are in the power of my tongue, and I will eat its fruits. Look at the second thing. The writer says our words deliver death. Proverbs 18:21a says death and life are in the power of my tongue. How many of you ever heard this little catchy phrase? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Heard it? That's a lie. It's a big lie. I would rather you throw sticks and stones sometimes. Like I say, because the words that we say, I have a tendency to say something to you about somebody else, and then I say something to somebody else about that same person, and they just go out there forever and ever and ever, and then it gets back to us that somebody said this about, and it hurts. It's a lie. I've never had a broken bone. My kids have. Like I say, they heal. But those words hurt. And so Proverbs gives us some examples of how our words hurt. Look at the first one. Is our words hurt because of gossip? Proverbs 20:19 says, the one who reveals secret is a constant gossip. He goes on to say, avoid somebody with a big mouth. I'm ashamed to say it, but you know what our tendency is when we know somebody's going to talk? We want to listen. And Solomon says, run from them. Avoid them. Some folks feed on that. Look at what Proverbs 18 says. What dainty morsels rumors are. They're eaten with great relish. Gossip's usually fun. Gossip's usually interesting. But when you feed on it, we want more. Someone was gossiping about somebody else in the church to a friend. And the friend said, give me more juicy details. And the friend who had been the gossiping said this, I've already told you more than I know. And isn't that the truth? We assume. And I want you to remember this. The person who gossips will gossip about you. So think about that. The next time somebody's saying, hey, do you know what I heard about so-and-so? That same person's going to go to so-and-so and say, hey, guess what I heard about her? Or guess what I heard about him? A person who gossips will gossip about you. And so we gossip. Proverbs talks about angry words. We've been hurt by angry words. Look at what Proverbs 29 says. An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered one increases rebellion. You know folks like that? Just constantly stirring it up. We lie. The third one is lying. Proverbs tells us that lying is one of the six things that God hates. That's strong words. God hates lying. He didn't hate the liar. He hates lying. Look at what Proverbs 6 says. The Lord hates six things. In fact, seven are detestable to him. Arrogant eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that plots wicked schemes, feet eager to run evil, a lying witness who gives false testimony, and one who stirs up trouble among the brothers. That's the closest I've ever heard the Bible coming to say that God hates somebody. But that's a pretty serious offense in the church when you have somebody stirring up trouble. Proverbs 12:19 adds this. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue only for a moment. I've seen folks in church after church after church that stir it up. And when people finally get tired of them stirring up stuff and they start calling them on it, guess what happens to the person that's trying to stir it up? They usually wander on and go somewhere else and try to stir it up someplace else. But truth endures forever. Flattery is another thing that we do. If we're honest, we like to be flattered, don't we? We like for things to be said nice about us, but Proverbs gives us some pretty strong words about it. It tells us to be on guard against a sweet-talking person. He said a person that flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. Think about it. When your kids come up and start talking about how pretty, how handsome, hey, you're so nice, what's the first thing you ask them? What do you want? It's the same thing. Sums up. Proverbs 29:5 says, do I have it up there? That was not there? Okay. This is a guy that pats you on the back, and then they find your weak spot, and they stick you in it with that sword that we talked about. Another one is impulsive speech. Look at Proverbs 29. It says this, do you see someone who speaks too soon? Or do you know somebody who speaks too soon? There's more hope for a fool than for that person. Impulsive speech. There are a lot of words out there that I wish I could take back. Our words are powerful. They bring life and they bring death. Say the passage of Scripture with me again. Death and life are in the power of my tongue, and I will eat its fruits. The third thing that we see in Proverbs is our tongues launch life. And we get some pretty cool word pictures of how this works. Look at the first one. It's refreshing water. How many of you know that when you've spent a long day on the tractor or behind the lawnmower or working in the garage or doing whatever it is, I love Coke, Glenn. There you go. But there's nothing better than a big old... I tell Nancy to take one of those Dixie cups that we have and just go fill it up with ice water and bring it to me. Refreshing water. Look at what Proverbs 29 says. The mouth of righteousness is a fountain of life, but the mouth of wicked conceals violence. Pretty powerful words. Another word picture is the word for tasty food. And this is what comes to mind, biscuits and honey. But look at what Proverbs 16 says. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the taste, and health to the body. Honey back in biblical times was very hard to get hold of. It was a luxury item. It was also a medicinal thing. And boy, there's just times in our life when the right words at the right time do so much good in our life. And I think that's what the writer's talking about here. So we need to hear sweet, tender words from other people. Not flattering words. Truthful words. Words, our words carry a lot of weight. I watched an episode of a TV show last night, and this guy's trying to find somebody. He had a letter. I remember back to the children's home days when our kids longed for the mail to come. You know why? Because they wanted to hold on to those words. Words from mom and dad or from a grandma, grandpa, aunt and uncle. Those words meant something. About once a day, I erased my text messages. But when I used to get letters, back when you were dating, how many of you kept a shoebox with all the notes that were folded up? And I watched kids at the home go back and pull them letters out and read those things because they're soothing and they're healing. And then another picture is the word for expensive jewelry. Look at Proverbs 25:11. A word spoken at the right time is gold apples and silver settings. A wise correction to a receptive ear is like a gold ring or an ornament of gold. Boy, those jewelers know exactly how to set that stone at just the right place at the right time to get the perfect balance on that piece of jewelry. And boy, our words, when they're placed just right, can be soothing and healing, or they can be hurtful and destructive. So those are really cool word pictures. And so we say, how do we tame our tongue? That's the last thing we look at. How do we tame our tongue? Too many of us have foot and mouth disease. We keep our foot in our mouth all the time. I don't always choose the words that I want to say, and I do end up eating the words that we say. Look at what Proverbs 18:21 says again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. A pastor friend of mine, Brother Charles, preached a sermon. I had these notes in another Bible. Boy, there's no sense. I don't know if anybody comes up with original sermons anymore. But I cherish those written words from other pastors. And here's 10 things that he says, 10 things that we can do to tame our tongue. Proverbs 21:23 says this, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guard his soul from troubles. Boy, how many times if we just kept our mouth shut would we have not wound up in the mess that we got ourselves in? But we talk too much. Well, I know I can't tell you how many times in my life. And so the first thing that we see here in Proverbs is we need to think more. If I'd have thought about what I was fixing to say and not said it, it'd have been a whole lot better. Look at what Proverbs 12:18 says. There is one who speaks rashly like a piercing sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Boy, I got to think about it a little while to say those wise words. I'm quick to blurt out and throw up on you with the ugly words. But the choice, wise things that need to be said and edit everything else out. It's hard to do sometimes. When I say something that's rude to somebody, it's usually because I didn't think about it. Proverbs 15:28. This is the New American Standard. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Brother Doyle Combs, a really one of the first pastors that I got to know as a student before Brother Ed Etheridge came to be our pastor, Brother Doyle would always say, can I think about it and get back to you with that answer? I don't think there's any shame in that. And say, hey, let me think about it. Because when you come up and say, hey, can I have your opinion, you probably don't want it. And so I'm quick to say, hey, wait a minute. Do you really want to hear what I have to say? And if they bow up, I'm not going to say anything. Because they don't want to. They want me to agree with them about whatever it is, the point is they're trying to get across, and I may not necessarily do that. So sometimes we need to, and it's a great quote, we need to ponder before we pour. Think about it. Proverbs 26:4 says this, don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you'll be like him yourself. And so we need to think more. Number two, we need to talk less. Listen to these wise words. Never break the silence unless you can improve upon it. That's a good bumper sticker. That's a great one for out front. Look at what Abraham Lincoln said. I like this one. It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all the doubts. Here's how Proverbs puts it. Proverbs says, when there are many words, sin is unavoidable, but the one who controls his lips is prudent, is wise. Boy, the more I talk, the more I mess up. Wise words from Proverbs, Proverbs 17. Even a fool is considered wise when he keeps silent, discerning when he seals his lips. So here's another project. Go home, tell him. I ain't playing. Go ahead. There you go. Ask yourself these questions. You can let go. But here's what you need to do. You need to grab your tongue when you're tempted to say, I told you so. That's a rough one for me. When you have information that makes somebody else look bad, grab hold to your tongue. When someone's upset about a problem and you've had the same problem, bite your tongue. When you're tempted to judge or criticize somebody, when you want to correct someone on a minor point as they tell a story, well, my wife would holler, amen on that one. When someone is asked for your opinion, just grab hold and don't say anything. Or when you want to tell something about yourself in order to impress somebody else. You know, I have a really bad problem. Someone to come and tell me a story, tell me about a problem that's going on in their life, and then what I want to do, I tend to want to one-up. When what they really want me to do is listen. Just listen. And so we need to talk less. Third thing is we need to listen more. You know the story. Why do you have two ears and one mouth? So you listen twice as much as you speak. Pretty simple. Proverbs 15:31 says this, one who listens to life-giving rebukes will be at home among the wise. I need to listen sometimes when people want to speak truth into my life. Now, not everybody can do that. But there's a few folks that I've allowed in them into that inner circle, and they need to say, hey, I need to tell you something. I know I need to listen. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction so that you may be wise later in life. Teenagers, when your parents start saying, hey, can I tell you something? It's pretty wise to listen. You know why? They've been down that road before. It's hard to listen to somebody tell us something we don't want to hear, isn't it? But it makes us wise when we listen to truth, spoken in love, with seasoned in grace. We need to hear those things. My problem is sometimes, and again, my wife would amen me on this one, is I don't completely engage when someone's talking to me, especially at a restaurant. I'm terrible. Nancy's talking, and I'm listening to that conversation. We need to listen more. Proverbs 18. The one who gives an answer before he listens is the foolishness, and this is foolishness and disgrace for him. Nancy will ask me something, and I say, huh? Don't be looking at your husband. I saw some of those heads roll. But guys, we need to listen more. We need to engage. Number four, we need to encourage others. There are folks who are down and discouraged all around us. And maybe God wants to use us to breathe life into that other person. Look at what Proverbs says. The tongue that heals is a tree of life, but a devious tongue breaks the spirit. Look at this project. Go ahead. What happened if you would get 10 cents for every kind word you speak and you lost a nickel every time you spoke an unkind word? How many of you be in the negative right now? Don't raise your hand. So we need to speak gently, number five. Because how many times do we get worked up when we hear stuff that we don't like? Look at Proverbs 15. It says, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Someone says, keep your words soft and sweet. You never know when you may have to eat them. But I heard a great story this week when I know somebody had an opportunity just to go back off on somebody, but they didn't. And God blessed them because of it. That's pretty cool. We need to cut other people some slack, number six. Most of the time, I'm way too tough on everybody else. That's why we don't like mirrors. It's what James calls the Word of God. It's a mirror that we have to look into. And the reason we don't like it is because sometimes it's too hard on ourselves. Too hard. We don't like the truth. We want perfection from you, but I want you to give me wiggle room for mistakes. Anybody like that? Look at what Proverbs says, Proverbs 12. Fools have short fuses and explode all too quickly, but the prudent quietly shrug off insults. Proverbs 19:11. A person's insight gives him patience, and his virtue is to overlook an offense. And then Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever conceals an offense promotes love, but whoever gossips about it separates friends. So this number seven is we need to avoid gossip. I like this quote. A gossip is a fool with a keen sense of rumor. Because most of the time, that's all we got, just rumors. We don't know the truth. We're just telling what somebody else heard. And you've played that game, telephone, where you speak into somebody's ear and the time it gets around them, it's not even close to whatever was started. But we're real bad at playing those games. Proverbs 11 says that gossip goes around revealing a secret, but a trustworthy person keeps a confidence. And so number eight, we need to tell the truth. Jerry Jordan, an old guy, he did a record called Telephone Call from God. And God was getting on to him about his gossip, and he says, well, God, Lord, the things that I say about my neighbors are all true. I don't gossip, but we do. So we just need to say the truth. Proverbs 12:17 says, whoever speaks the truth declares what's right, but a false witness speaks deceit. And so I really want people to speak the truth to me, even when it's not easy to hear. We want to hear the truth. Proverbs 16:13, righteous lips are a king's delight, and he loves one who speaks honestly. And then Proverbs 27:6 says this, a rebuke cuts into a perceptive person more than 100 lashes into a fool. We want people to speak truth in our lives. And when it's received, it'll help us. Number nine, we need to stop bragging. We need to stop boasting. Look at Proverbs 25:7. It's not good to eat too much honey or speak or seek glory after glory. I love honey. But you know what? I can't down a jug of it. Too much. James 4:16 says this, but as it is, you boast in your arrogance. And he says, all such boasting is evil. Warren Wiersbe says, when you sing your own praises, you always sing out of tune. If I have to go around blowing and tooting my own horn, then I got a bragging problem. There's some insecurity there. There's some deeper issues if we got to go around doing that. So we don't need to brag and boast. We need to seek God's love. We need to seek God's grace. We need to seek His truth in our lives. And number 10, don't fight. Look at Proverbs 17:14. To start a conflict is to release a flood. Stop dispute before it breaks out. I wonder how many families, how many churches would have experienced more peace if they just refused to give in to the fight, to the conflict. They just kept their mouth shut. Too much of what we fight about is not really that important anyway. Look at Proverbs 20. Honor belongs to the person who ends a dispute. But any fool can get himself into a quarrel. Tough words. Monica, if y'all want to come and get ready for our invitation. There was a mom who used to make her little boy stick his tongue out every time she thought he lied. She'd say, I can tell by looking at where your tongue is attached in the back of your mouth if you're lying or not. As the boy got older, he realized that she was making stuff up. But we need to ask ourselves, was she really? Because look at what Matthew 12 says. Matthew 12 says, brood of vipers, how can we speak good things when you're evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. Look at Matthew 15. From the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, theft, false testimonies, and slander. Tough words. Church, what comes out of our mouth is what's in our heart. I remember there was a time when my back was hurting really bad and I was on a lot of pain medication. And this went on for about 2 weeks. It was awful. I don't remember the 2 weeks. I think the doctor gave me Vicodin and Valium at the same time. My wife had to hide the car keys. After my back got better and things started getting a little bit better, a lady came forward one time in one of our church services and she says, Pastor, I want you to know that I forgive you for what you said. I said, what'd I say? She said, I'm not going to tell you what you said. But she says, I know this. It probably wouldn't have come out of your mouth had it not been in your heart. It was the medication talking. But it was in there. That's why it came out. And so, church, are we going to launch words? I'm not going to throw this at anybody. Bill would get all over me. But are we going to launch words of life when we speak? Or are we going to launch words of destruction? We need to watch what we say. Stand with me and let's say this verse again together. Say it with me. Death and life are in the power of my tongue, and I will eat its fruits. Lord, I pray in the next few minutes as we spend this time just thinking about what you may be speaking to our hearts. Lord, there may be some decisions that we need to make after we leave here today. There may be some things that we need to do after we leave here today. Lord, I pray that maybe we'll come forward and spend some time here at the altar committing to you that we're going to do whatever we need to do out there. Because, Lord, I know there's some words that I need to take back. I can't. They're there. They've been spoken. But, Lord, I need to start mending some fences. I need to start building some relationships. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do that. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's never trusted you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray today that they would give their heart and their life to you. Lord, some of the greatest words ever written in Scripture, it says that God demonstrated his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Lord, I pray today that that truth would come alive in a person's heart today. Thank you for what you're going to do in these next few minutes. And we ask it in your name. Amen.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give. trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Amen. Look forward to seeing you tonight, Creation Ministries International. I apologize for not being able to say the guy's name. I think he's from Australia, and it's about that long, and so I'm not even going to try to mess up his name. But he's coming in from Seminole this afternoon, and I've had a chance to visit with him a couple of times, and I'm excited about what he has to say. So I pray that you'd come back tonight at 6 o'clock in our evening service time. Any other word before we pray and are dismissed? All right. Brother Ricky, would you close us, please, sir?